Hey, welcome to the session. You're listening to Andy Mason, Director of Heaven and Business, and I've got a special guest with me, Brendan here, all the way from Waco, Texas. You're about to learn about him in a moment. But really, the purpose of this call is to give you some stories of what is happening today in the marketplace, what God is up to. Brendan wrote this book, The Business Revival, and you're going to hear about stories in this book just released and what's happening and really what you as a business owner or an employee, whatever level you're at your business, you can be a part of what God's doing in the marketplace. So let's just dive right in. Brendan, thank you so much for joining us. You're in Waco, Texas. We were just talking about that's where everybody wears like spurs and
rides horses, all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. What's the business? What's the role that you've got? And I understand you've got like 100 kids at home as well. And your wife's a wonderful, wonderful woman. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So I married my better nine tenths, my better half, Kristen. She and I have been married now going on 13 years. So just unbelievably blessed to wake up with that woman every single day. We have three boys. Hunter is nine. Hudson is seven, just turned seven on Tuesday. And then Hagen Michael is three. So we have a rowdy bunch at our house. It's fun times. And then here right now, currently, I am so blessed to be the senior vice president of franchise development for Neighborly, which is a franchise organization. We're one of the largest franchise organizations in the home service space here. We have 28 brands globally, and I get to oversee the development, the sales professionals for our company here. So honored and blessed, but that's where we're at right now.
And so just give us a little bit more details about that company. You said, what was it, 28 different franchises?
Yeah.
So that's like, is it Mr. Ruder, Mr. Electric?
Got it. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, in the United States or in North America, there's 18, but it's all home service based. So Mr. Ruder, Mr. Electric, Mr. Appliance. We've got some great folks all throughout the process. Window Genie and Glass Doctor and Rainbow International. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can check us out on our website, neighborlybrands.com.
And so you are based in the head office in Waco, Texas.
Absolutely.
So how many people in the head office? What kind of scale is that just in terms of employees?
Yeah, so Neighborly, we've got over 1,000 employees now here. And most of those are here in our corporate headquarters in Waco. We just launched and are in the process of opening a second headquarters in Dallas, Texas. So at one point in time, we had 13 offices globally. So we're in the UK and France and South Africa, and we're all over the place.
Now, is this a public or private?
It's a private company. Yeah, private. Yeah. We are owned by a private equity company, and they are a fantastic, fantastic partner for us. It's Harvest Partners, if you can imagine Harvest when we're talking about Kingdom Business.
Yeah, so that's great. But just look me a little bit of clarity. Is this a Christian company? Is this a, how would you define that even?
We're corporate America. Yeah, we are corporate America. That is it, right? The quotations. It's a corporate company for sure. Yeah, it's not a Christian-based company. We are a company, a very big for-profit, almost $3 billion in system-wide sales. And so, yeah, we're not a Christian organization.
Yeah. So really clearly, and how long have you been with that company, Brendan?
Yeah, so I've been here for a decade now. So I started out entry-level, started out ground floor, entry-level sales professional, and have grown with the company and grown to now senior VP over all of our franchise brands.
Well, congratulations. But let's just dive in. I mean, I've read the book. I love this book, but tell me snapshot and then we're going to go back. But as of right now, you were saying in the last 5 years,
right?
You are personally seeing salvations going on in this company. Tell me about that, numbers of that, and in the franchisees.
Yeah, so we have seen over 120 people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior here in this office. You can see behind me. And then we have franchisees that's another 120 plus people that have come to know Jesus by our franchisees grabbing this simple, I mean, we've talked about in the book, right? This simple playbook and really tapping in to the overwhelming power of Jesus.
I'm just loving it. And when you get the book, you read the book, Brendan talks about the meetings that are going on in his office. So this is the office we're looking right into this office.
This is it.
It's just an everyday office That's where people are meeting on a weekly basis. We have a prayer meeting, and this is not a Christian company. It's not a church. This is a corporate, this is corporate America, privately owned, equity funded company. So that's, anybody in the industry knows that, yeah, that doesn't work on numbers of souls saved. That works on bottom line dollars. Right. So you're saying this is amazing. 120 people saved in your own office, like of the 1,000 employees. That's fantastic growth. And then within the wider franchisees as well. But then there's been a ton of other miracles that I'm read about, heard about. Tell me some of those.
Yeah, so we've had folks who didn't know Jesus and would just show up, or are calling in on webinars now, right, in the world we live in. So this office is something cool. I couldn't pick the office up and move it before, but now I can take it into any state, any country around the world. I can pick this office up and move it. Folks coming in saying, you know, hey, I don't really pray, but man, I know you guys do. And I got this diagnosis of cancer, or hey, my marriage is falling apart, or hey, my son was in a car wreck, or hey, can you guys, if you just pray, maybe, right? And they come in just sheepish. And then they see the power of God, and we see God just move, and people are healed. And you've got folks that were told they couldn't have children. I got a text message yesterday from one of my guys who was told he couldn't have children. They tried in vitro. They did everything possible. Come in, his wife and he came into this office, stood right behind me, right where I'm at right now. We prayed over them. They just had their second son.
Come on,
in Jesus' name. Right? It's just God doing what he does, right? The simple prayer, Lord, I know you can. We're just asking you to do it again. That's it. I know you can. We're just asking you to do it again. I've seen you do it before.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome.
This, I'm loving this. And you got story after story in the book of these things happening. People can't have children. Your neighbor, it's like, this is, you're a businessman. You've got tasks, you've got quotas, you've got things you've got to achieve. I mean, I love how you talk in the book where you came into this and you got mentored by somebody, but it was hard. It was difficult. Yeah. It was a grind.
That's right.
And then you've grown and grown and grown, and you're protecting this time. Tell me, how did this start? When did this start? And really, if you're watching, listening to this, I want you to hear, this is everyday business people seeing God move in the marketplace today. So Brandon, how did this start out for you?
Yeah, so Kristen and I, we were in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I was in banking at the time, kind of in wealth management, and had a mentor like we talked about. And we heard clearly from God, it's time to move back home. It's time to move. So we moved to Waco, Texas, and we dropped income and said, okay, Lord, are you sure? And I come to Neighborly, formerly the Dwyer Group is what we were called at one point in time. And it was hard, 300% turnover in this specific place. Like, you didn't get close to people in the office next to you. You didn't get close to anyone because they may be gone on Friday. Yeah. And you have just 150, 160 people terminated in that first 2-year mark. Now, seeing Jesus move, that's another thing I'll throw in there. Our turnover rate is now single digits, where your performance has gone up. We're seeing more of God move. We're seeing greater results. We broke records last year in Q1, Q3, Q4. We broke all-time records in a time where everyone's, you know, can't meet. So, but seeing that and then just the grind and asking God, okay, Lord, what am I here for and who am I here for?
Yeah.
And that has been pressed over me by a mentor. That simple question of, okay, God, you've sent the mission ahead of me. Yeah. So what am I here for, Lord? And who am I here for? And I just started praying, God, could you send me just one more person, one more man to come alongside to pray with me? And God sent me a man named Gary Landon, and I love this man. We still meet.
Just pause. Go back a step, Brandon.
Yeah, sure.
You said you're praying, God sent. So you're working on your targets, you're working on your quotas, you're doing what you need. Yep. But then you have this harebrained idea to start a prayer meeting, like you start praying.
Yeah.
Tell me,
go
back a step. How did that part start?
Yeah, so I was just, there was just this insurmountable pressure and angst, and I felt just so overwhelmed and alone. And yeah, I was hitting the targets, but it wasn't fun. And it was just a grind. And so the Holy Spirit in my prayer time said, you know, hey, why don't you pray for somebody else to come alongside? And I was just reading about Jesus sending the disciples out in twos. I was like, I just need that second person. And then God sends me a man, all right, Gary. And it was a breath of fresh air. It was harder. Let me clarify. We started praying together and it got harder.
Now, are you praying beforehand? Were you praying at home? Is this like your quiet time?
On Tuesday mornings at 7:30, we still meet to this day, just he and I, Tuesday mornings at 7:30 in this office or by phone, or if we're traveling back, you know, when we were, it was by phone. We would meet. We did not miss. And we start praying for each other, praying for this company. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this place. Jesus, we need you.
Yeah.
And it got harder. We didn't see anything. We actually, Gary and I coined the term that we were the underground church in corporate America because of the persecution we saw. People would laugh at us and make fun of us and like, hey, why don't you guys pray harder? You're not on top of the sales chart. Yeah. You're probably not praying hard enough. And then Gary had this one moment, he in his prayer closet, of reading Luke 11 again and the disciples coming and saying to Jesus, they had just seen him pray and they said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
And Gary came into our prayer meeting on a Tuesday morning and he said, hey man, I feel like God's telling us we should pray. I'm like,
what are we doing?
Yeah. He said, no, Brandon, think about it. He's like, if you could ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask him for? Well, Lord, teach me how to walk on water. Lord, teach me how to heal the sick. Lord, teach me how to raise the dead. Lord, the disciples who were with him all the time said, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Yeah.
And Gary had this idea. He said, how often do people ask us to pray for them and we forget? Or pray for me. Yeah, sure. Gary said, I want to challenge you and I want you to challenge me. When people pray, ask us to pray for them, we pray right there. And Andy, the move shifted. It shifted. That was five, almost 6 years ago. That's where everything shifted because it wasn't this great articulate prayer or anything. The best part of that story, I say it in the book, right after Gary says that, we have a friend of ours pop into the office and he says, hey, I know you guys are fixing to pray. Could you pray for me? And Gary and I look at each other like, you can't make this stuff up.
We've got to do it now.
Yeah, well, now we have to. So we stopped and prayed. And since then, I love what God has done. And I love hearing about folks getting connected on webinars or seeing folks just stopping and praying right there. That one thing was the shift for us. Yeah, pray so now.
So simple process. You're a believer. You believe God works. You're in a secular company. It's not a Christian company. But obviously you understand that if I pray before work officially starts, I can do this. I can do this in my office. You're doing it seventh. So you're praying, inviting God in, and one, you're frustrated with the lack of results. That's right. You have this inspired thought, pray with someone else. Jesus sent them out two by two. So Jesus send me.
Yep.
And then how did you connect with Gary?
Gary was a salesperson here with me already. He was a guy, and he and I have that conversation where I had seen, you know, the cross in the office, and we had those conversations. Hey man, be blessed. Like you get it. And so I just had this harebrained idea, and I just walked up to him and I said, hey man, would you be willing to just meet with me and pray? And he said, dude, I've been waiting like for somebody. And he had been here 5 years longer than I had. He's still here today. He's one of my leaders. And yes. So God send me someone to say yes.
God send me someone to say yes. Super simple. And it's actually a divine plan, the way that Jesus set it up, two by two.
Right.
So then the two of you start praying together,
right,
and you're praying for yourselves, really praying for the company, praying for results. God help us. And then you're saying, then Gary has this revelation, Jesus, teach us to pray. You're like, that's offensive. What have we been doing? And it's like, no.
Yeah.
We've been praying for ourselves. We need to not just talk about it. Let's do something.
That's
and
right.
Then instantly someone walks in and you got it. Oh, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago. What started to happen since then?
Yeah, so then you would see a person come by, or we just realized the opportunity was already there. People were asking us to pray already. We just weren't seizing it.
Wow.
And the thing about it is, if you come and ask me to pray for you in corporate America, you asked me.
Yeah.
You asked me. So it's not me prostrating on you or anything like that. It's you asked me to pray for you. And so when the scales fell off of our eyes, and I believe that is such a tool, and that's something that's written in that book. It's a moment. If God would just remove the scales from all of our brothers and sisters in corporate America, there will be a revival take place is unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because the opportunity is already there. Pray for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's there.
It's wide open. And you're saying, you just work it out as you go. You're like, teach us to pray, let your kingdom come. Literally, that's it.
Yeah.
So then people would pray. That first person comes, would you pray for me? What happened?
Yeah. So first person comes, hey, would you pray for me? I have this going on. He was actually asking about a sales call, as I write in the book. And he comes back and he's like, it was amazing. Could you guys do it? It was like a...
Do it again. Do it again.
Awesome. Yeah, do it again. And then it went to the next person of, hey, Gary and Brandon prayed for me and this result happened. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, that's not us guys. It's not Gary and Brandon, right? It's Jesus. And it slowly started fading out and folks would come in their desperation. And so that's the thing. I was like, Lord, send me the people who need you. Send me the desperate. Send me the broken. Who am I here for, Lord?
Yeah.
And people would just knock on the door. Hey, could you pray for me? Hey, would you pray for me? Hey, I don't know what you guys do on Friday in here, but whatever it is you're doing, I want that.
Yeah.
And you start talking to him about Jesus. And it was just, it has been such a wild ride. Like, I love it. God is so cool.
And so has it just been smooth sailing and just numbers started to grow and then people start to say, what must I do to be saved? And it's been cruisy and bank and your wife gets.
No, I have a run in with human resources and I talk about it. You know, here's the coin. If you can see it, right. I talk about just betrayal, and there's folks in the office that turn me into people services, into human resources, and say, hey, there's mandatory prayer meetings. And it's, how do I navigate that? Lord, help me. But what God does with that, right? What the enemy meant for evil, God turns into good. And so going and sitting in with our people services and our attorneys and telling them, hey, that's actually not true. I'm not forcing anyone. It's me praying. And then having them come back and be like, well, you have people in your office that are hourly employees and they can't be in there. They're like, well, do they get a smoke break? Well, yeah, but not at the beginning of the day. You're like, okay, Lord, help me here. And so then God creates two services out of it, right? It's like, okay, then we'll just have a meeting at 7:30 in the morning before work. And we'll have one, you know, during lunch, we'll figure this out. And God multiplied from there, but it has not been smooth sailing by any means. But now, and it's taken it a step further, and it's discipling. And I walk through that in the book. How do you take, especially high performance sales professionals, how do you not turn this into a manipulation? How do you turn this into a heart movement?
Yeah.
How do you turn this into a place where Jesus moves and it's not a place of what reward do I get? No, it's about him. You are secondary.
So how do you do that? So there's people getting saved. There's people that can't have children, starting to have children. This is changing.
Yeah.
And all at the same time, there's the ups and the downs and the sideways in terms of navigating what's legal, what's not legal. And you're learning the whole way through and Holy Spirit's teaching you.
Right.
But then what do you do with this as this grows? Because this is like, how did you stay, like God's called me to business. Did you ever think, oh my gosh, God's called me to be a pastor and I'm going to go and plant a church and we'll take my group of souls and boom, we got a church. Did you have your wrestle through that? And then how do you disciple people in the workplace?
Yeah, so I've had that wrestle a ton. Originally, I wanted to be a pastor. I thought I wanted to be a pastor. And you and I talked about this previous conversation where I was in college and both my parents get ill. And I go to my professors that are teaching religion at the time. And they're like, okay, just buck up, no problem. And then I go to my business professors I was taking as a minor and they wept with me and they prayed with me. And so I take this hiatus and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to YWAM. I went to YWAM Kona, suffering for the cause of Jesus, right? Going to Kona, Hawaii. But then I go to China and I'm over in China for 9 months. And I have this unbelievable experience, held at gunpoint for my faith. Man sticks a pistol in my chest, tells me he's going to kill me if I don't put my Bible down. Seeing thousands of people come to know Jesus, coming back home and still feeling like a square peg in a round hole. I'm like, well, yeah, but Lord, you've gifted me with all these abilities. And I actually don't want to be a pastor in a church. I want to be a pastor in the marketplace.
Come on.
Lord, teach me, because that's the place where the unreached are not going to step inside a congregation.
Yeah.
Lord, send me, right? Send me, Lord. And it's that comes into play, teaching our teens. And we're now, right, when you think about discipleship, it's not just, okay, you're saved, good luck. Now it's, hey, I want to spend time with you. And I want to walk you through the Bible, and I want to show you who Jesus is. I want to spend lunch hour with you. Now we're in that second and third generation of discipleship where I see teams, or I hear about teams that are just meeting to continue to learn about the Bible. And okay, so now what? And okay, wait, how do I get there? And so it's just taking it. It's that full fold discipleship and pouring into somebody. And it's such an exciting ride.
I love it. I just love it. Tell us the story about the ball bouncing on the wall in the office next to you.
Yeah. So there's
which side's that?
Yeah, that was an office or two ago. In the challenging stages, right? So as growth happened, I get promoted a couple times, and I'm in this role, and one of the challenges I teach my teams all the time is a simple practice, right? Of not just pray now, but who's the hardest person in your organization to love?
Yeah.
Set an alarm on your phone for your birthday, right? My birthday is December the 6th. So 12/6 at 12:06, I set an alarm on my phone to pray for that person, to pray blessings over that person.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day at 12:06. So there was a person in the office next to me that bounced the squishy ball against the wall. Ba-boom, ba-boom. And it was amazing. My alarm would go off at 12:06 and that person would ba-boom, ba-boom, bouncing that ball. And I'm going, oh, please, Jesus, bless them with another job. Like, Lord, get them out of here. Whatever you got to do. Like, please, this is making me crazy. And sticking in there and saying, no, this is who you sent me for.
Yeah.
You sent the mission ahead of me just because I'm here, right? And then God did something cool from that. I'll tell you even more after that. But there was a moment in a day where the ball started bouncing, boom, boom, boom. And then it stopped. And I was in my office praying for this person. And they walk by the window and tap on the glass and said, hey, you got a minute? I said, sure. Hey, and my marriage is falling apart. That's how the conversation started. And so we start having a conversation. And we start praying. He starts praying for restoration. He starts praying for his children. We just see God move. And as he's leaving, he says, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yeah, you can stop bouncing that ball.
Yeah.
But watching God now, this man of God was transformed and changed. He was going to church on Sundays, but it wasn't sinking in. Yeah. It wasn't meeting with him. There wasn't a relationship there. But from that one movement, now, whenever an office empties or vacates, I have team members who want to move offices to be closer to the person that they're praying for, yeah, so that they can lay their hand on the wall next to the office and just pray for that person. Or I have folks who on webinars who want to pray for the person in the bubble next to them or the square next to them. Like, okay, Lord, put that person there. And when you start looking for it, right, you start looking for the adventure. Lord, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for Andy.
Yeah.
And then watching the webinar glitch in and glitch out. And then all of a sudden your bubble pops up next to mine.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
I'm loving this. It's incredibly simple. Just incredibly. Jesus taught us how to pray. And pray like that, but don't just leave it in something. Then as soon as you get the opportunity, do it in the moment.
That's right.
And just pray, let your kingdom come. That's everything. That's from healing, health, financial, physical, emotional, relational. And as you refuse to change the subject, and while still being diligent, you're not missing appointments, you're not missing quotas, you're doing what you need to do, which is evidenced by continuing to be promoted in a secular company. So that's really, really important for people to hear. But you've just fully embraced the core. I love these questions. What am I here for? God, I'm in a janitory company. I'm in a toothpaste making company. I'm in a soda company. I'm in a whatever it is. What am I here for? And who am I here for? Those two questions that I'm hearing you say again and again and again, and then not giving up. It reminds me of the story of a friend of mine. They made a top 10 list of people in their high school least likely to be saved. And then number one was from a crazy broken. They were the ones that sold the drugs that always get in a, that person was number one. Well, within a short period of time, which was more than a year, that number one gets saved. And number one is now the pastor of the church in that region. I'm hearing you say that. I'm reminded of the story of a prison in Huntsville where a friend of mine is going in and out discipling people. And that's what these guys are saying. One of the inmates who gets saved asks to be put into solitary confinement over Christmas so that he can reach the others in solitary. They had some form of communication or 1 hour. Just profound. Like, what did I do for Christmas? Yeah. That's like you're saying, God, put me next to that person. This is why you've got me here. And we will get to be a part of revival that we've been aching to see, but it's so much not in a corporate institutional Sunday service. It's every single day of the week.
Yeah, that's right.
Brandon, tell me about the book. Tell me about the book, what's in here, and how do I get a copy of it?
Yeah, so it's called The Business Revival, Getting What's Inside of You, Inside of Your Workplace. And you can find it on Amazon and other retailers. But the book is just that. It's the hard work. It's the decade. It's the playbook that Jesus has let us live out. It just walks through those stories and then practical applications. You know, even being a pest for Jesus, right? A person of prayer and excellence and strength and truth. How do you make sure that you are a person of excellence in your company while being on mission in your company? The two don't, they're not separate from one another. They coexist. So that's what's in the book. It has been such a cool journey. God has really done some cool things. So I hope you pick it up on Amazon and enjoy.
And so two more questions. First question, what would be a challenge then for everybody watching this, listening to this? They say whether they're an entrepreneur, a CEO, a janitor, it doesn't matter. What would your challenge in that? But they say, I'm a believer and I want to be a part of what God's doing in the earth today. How would you challenge them?
Yeah, so I use the visual, right, where we've all been in churches where the pastor says, hey, let's bring up these missionaries, we're sending them out, and everybody prays and they're all excited. But what if you pictured yourself going up on stage and that pastor of the church says, hey, I'm sending Brandon out, or hey, we're sending out missionaries today. They know the language. They put in the hard work. They've done all the things. They know the culture. I'm just sending them to their full-time job. The challenge is you are already in the place God has you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So, Lord, you have sent the mission ahead of me. Yeah. Help me to see it, right? Yeah. Just like with Gary and I, Lord, teach us to pray now.
Yeah. Well,
people were already asking us to pray. We just weren't doing it.
Yeah.
So, Lord, you've already sent the mission ahead of me. And if you sent me on mission, then you already have a plan. Let me in on it.
So good. And just say yes, yes. So everybody watching, we just pray you are infected with now, with where you are sent by God to where you are. I love this story of Gideon. It's like, well, where's God? When God's going to do, like, when's God going to do something? And it's like, have I not sent you? Don't wait for permission. Don't wait for, you've been commissioned. Like, this is it. It's you. Don't look around for anybody else. It's you. God's called you where you are. That's why we live. To partner with God in our place of work and experience what God can do in seeking the well-being, the revival, the reformation of the communities that we serve. It starts in our workplace. Second question, Brandon, or you go? Yeah.
No, I was going to say, it's just like this morning I was reading in John 5, the lame man laying by the pool and saying, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. And Jesus is like, well, what do you want me to do for you? Get up. That's corporate America. We're laying beside the pool right now, waiting for someone to stir the waters for us when Jesus is standing there going, hey, I'm right here. What do you need?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Andy.
I love it. So then tell me, what do you see? What's your dream 5 years from now?
Oh, I would love to see this nation and nations beyond set on fire in corporate America. I would love to see the revival break out where people just start praying for one person in their workplace. If everyone just started praying for that one mission, this world is going to be so different.
Yeah.
And our culture, everything is affected by it. Everything changes. Everything hinges right there. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, generations upon generations. I want to see God move in a way that we have never seen, but it's right there in front of us. It's already there. We just got to seize it.
Yeah. So why don't you, Brandon, well, let's just wrap this up. I want you to just to pray for us. Pray as you pray in your office.
Sure.
And let's light this up.
All right, Father, we just thank you. Papa, you are good. Papa, I just pray right now, Isaiah 26:3, you'll keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on you. May we be steadfast on you, Lord. May we seek your kingdom. May your kingdom come in corporate America. May your will be done. Father, if there are people listening right now that need a touch from you, we're praying you do it again. Jesus, we need healing. Do it again. Healing from cancer. Do it again. Babies born. Do it again. Lord, your name, Jesus, is above all names. We pray right now, the name of Jesus over every ear listening, over every eye watching. God, we pray right now that you would send out your word, which does not return void. Jesus, would you wake us up? Would you push us in? Would you let us see your kingdom come and your will be done throughout this nation and beyond? Jesus, we love you. We praise you, Papa. I pray right now, Jesus, that you would do what only you can do. Amen.
Amen. So if you love this, make sure you grab a copy of the book. Get two, one for you, one to give away. I promise you, you will not be the same by the time you end it. And you can find that on Amazon. If not, email us contact@heavenandbusiness.com and we'll get one to you. So Brandon, thank you so much. This has just been wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me.